Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Amen. Thank the Lord for His presence and this opportunity we have to worship together, even though we're making a connection virtually. One of the wonderful things that can happen is the presence and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ bridging that great gap between us. We believe in at-distance prayers. We've prayed for people around the world and had amazing interventions. And in this situation, in these circumstances, we have an opportunity. It's been really forced upon us by our governmental agencies and by an abundance of caution. And in that circumstance, surely we have an abundance of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that can bridge the gap that's between us and minister to our spirit, soul, and body. I am so grateful for the people who are behind the scenes working and your faithfulness and giving and staying faithful to the Lord. We still have missionaries that are needing supporting. We still have expenses related to the facilities, and we still are getting ready to do some outreach and other things. And so you are an integral part of that. And will you believe with me that we can actually grow spiritually and numerically as a result of this time? This is one of those things that the Lord does no matter what comes against us. He can develop us and burgeon us, grow us, and bless us. And so will you agree with me on that? I'm needing some prayer agreement across our congregation. We're looking in Matthew now. We finished it. We're in the series Aftermath because it's talking about in this aftermath of conditions, we need to enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the answer. The kingdom of heaven is the answer. And so what I want us to focus upon as we continue forward, and this is going to, of course, show up in pieces throughout the week as we spend about 20 minutes or so together and we look at some and observe some revelations in Scripture, and then we offer thank you to the Lord and then a request before the Lord. I want to encourage you to get your journal and let this be a spiritual journey and a spiritual journaling journey for you. And I believe that all together, if we'll walk through that as a congregation and anybody else who wants to come along, just go to YouTube, our YouTube channel at Vision Church Assembly of God, or here on Facebook, AG Vision Church, I believe is what it is, at AG Vision Church. And you will find there an entire archive that can take you right back to the first message in this series, as well as the devotionals, and that you can kind of go along with us and catch up. There are people all over the United States who are discovering it and then catching it up. Would you believe, Vision Church, that some of our videos are getting in excess of almost 400 views? That's people all over the place who are tuning in, and we get an opportunity to broadcast this good news of Jesus Christ and make a difference in people's lives. And will you believe with me that there are people who during this time are looking for answers, and the Holy Spirit can nudge them along, bring them to our channel, and that they can receive a message of hope and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And who knows, the people who might come to Jesus, and some of these people we might not ever meet until we get into the place of glory with Him. And someone comes up to us and said, there's no way you'd know me, but I heard that message, I heard that worship, I heard that word from Pastor Steve, and the Lord touched my heart, and I'm here today in glory, in eternity, because of the faithfulness of people. And so, you know what we'll do? We'll all just turn and look to Jesus and give Him all the glory and the honor and praise, because we are all so blessed to be in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. As we're talking about aftermath, I want to bring this up. Seven heart conditions. Seven heart conditions. Hang in there. Some of you are saying, what? Seven heart conditions. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples on the Mount of Olives just before His death. And don't you know it's really important to hear what Jesus says just before He breathes His last. These are important words. He's speaking of the future from His perspective, and He says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. on the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. One of the translations in English says, people's hearts will faint or will fail them for fear. Have you ever heard, and maybe you said this yourself, that just shook me to the core. Sometimes it's a loud boom, and that just seems to penetrate to the very depths of our being. Or we hear bad news or something horrific that has happened, and it just gets to the inside of us, and it feels like it shakes us to the core. Many of us today, because of what's going on around the globe and what was happening in our own corner of the world, there is no one exempt from it. We're all being affected. I preached a message not long ago, said a whole lot of shaking going on. And so kind of tagging on to that, there is this idea of something shaking us to the core. Now, the word core is related to the word cuore. I happen to like Andrea Bocelli, the Italian opera singer, and he sings a lot of love songs as well. And a love song's great, but a love song in Italian is even better. And there's a song that he sings called Al volte il cuore, which means sometimes the heart. That word core is related to that word in the Italian and the Latin, cuore, and also related to the word cardo or cardio. How many of you have ever heard of that expression? Now, right now, many of us are saying, uh-oh, I really need to get back to my cardio. Some of us are walking the dog extra. Some of our dogs are slimming down. But at the same time, while we're sheltering in place, we also tend to get back to the carbos. That's just a little play on words. We get back to the carbohydrates. And so Tosh and I were just talking the other day, and she said, I think we need to get back to keto. And I said, yeah, I think we do. And so what's happening is that you have a choice. It's either cardo or carbo. And so we need to choose wisely. The center, the very core, the essence of being, the spirit of a person. This is the idea of heart. This is the idea of core, the very center part of who you are. You know, it's one thing to see the kingdom of God. As we looked at last week, Jesus said, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom. Except a man is born again, he cannot what? Enter the kingdom. It's one thing to see the kingdom of God. It is another thing to enter the kingdom of God. Entering is a matter of the whole being. It is a time for a heart check. The heart has to be aligned. It has to be a whole being encounter with God. It's a time for a heart check. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, we come across something that's called the Sermon on the Mount, or it's called the Beatitudes. In Matthew's gospel, this is 5, 6, and 7, we have Jesus getting to the root and the core of the matter of how the kingdom of God operates. Hint, we're going to spend some time in this, because if we want to know what it's like to enter the kingdom of heaven, we have to know something about what is the culture of the kingdom of heaven and what kind of transformation and change needs to happen in my life in order for me by faith to enter in. I want to do more than just be aware of the kingdom of God. I want to enter in. This is the way I put it. I want to be an outstanding citizen of the kingdom of God. And you can insert this phrase, the kingdom of heaven. These are interchangeable in many instances, and certainly in this place. So in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, we're going to look through the Beatitudes over these next few moments, and then we're going to go through them a little more in detail and pray through them this week as we have devotions together. So let's go on the journey. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Now, it's very interesting how you take this, as to whether Jesus is just visiting with his disciples, or he's talking to his disciples and the crowd is overhearing, or if he's speaking to his disciples and the crowd. And there's a sense of intimacy because he then talks to his disciples about how to pray. It's in this same area that he talks about seeking first the kingdom. And there seems to be an almost exclusivity about what Jesus is saying. It's like he's gathering his disciples in close and he's speaking to them the in-depth, in-detail things about the kingdom of heaven. One of the reasons I say that is because later he says, I will speak to the crowds in parables because seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. But you, I'll explain it. And we get a lot of detailed explanation here in these chapters of Matthew. And so it tends to be my personal preference to see Jesus gathering his disciples in light of the crowd rather than necessarily broadcasting this to thousands and thousands of people. So he brings them in, he gets them close, and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There it is, the kingdom of heaven. In John 3, he says, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now we're getting some detail as we hear what Jesus is saying to his disciples. What is the earmarkings? What do I need to go through? What seven heart conditions need to exist in order for me to be confident and to be knowing that I am in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God? He says, well, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this idea of blessing I want to cover one time, and then we'll just have to cut and paste it over the rest of these seven heart conditions. What is the idea of being blessed? Enviable. To be in the best position one can be in, because they're in the position where God's grace can intercept them. That is a blessing. It's to be in the right place and to receive what the Lord has for you. Now, what we're going to see as we look at this is there is the blessing, and then there is something that every one of us, if we were asked to vote in a private poll, would say, no, that's a negative thing. Jesus is calling something that is negative a blessing. And so privately and secretly in our heart, we may say, hey, it would be okay with me if that blessing never came to my life. But here's what Jesus is saying. Because something about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God that we need to get into our minds right now and into our hearts right now is that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, does not operate like the kingdoms of men. It does not operate like the United States of America. Although we think in Texas we're as close to heaven as one could possibly be, it's not even in Texas that we do things according to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is very different from the kingdoms of this earth and of this world. Because of the fallenness of men, because of our inability to understand, because of our lack of character, because of the lack of honesty, all kinds of things, all kinds of heart conditions get in the way that prevent this demonstration of the kingdom of heaven. But you know what? I'm convinced of a lot greater and better things from you. Paul would put that in his letters as he spoke to his churches, and he would say, I'm convinced of much better things from you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it's a blessing. How is that? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit is to have a humble heart that recognizes its debts and limits. He starts right out of the box with this idea of being poor in spirit. Sometimes we read the Beatitudes and somebody interprets it this way. Blessed are you poor. Why? Because 99% of them were dirt poor. But this was not a message of the kingdom of heaven just to poor people. It was a message, the kingdom of heaven is presented to hearts that are humble and open. And don't you know, not only can a rich man be closed to the message of the kingdom of heaven, but so can the poorest man on the earth. He recognizes, but he may be striving. He may have issues with his heart. That is not the idea. Let's not get confused by that word poor. Let's understand it as this way. It's the humble heart that recognizes its debts and its limits. Here's a little insight into that from David. Psalm 51, verse 17, in which David said, this was his heart condition. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. What's happening in David's life? His position of pride because of his sin has cost him, but he is repenting before God. And if you read the 51st Psalm, you're reading of a man's repentance, not sorrow for being caught in his sin, but a man who is sorrowful for what it has done in his relationship with God first and others second. It's something of repentance that comes into the heart and says, not, I'm sorry I was caught, or I'm sorry people disagreed with me, but I'm sorry that my heart is bankrupt and broken, and that I would think that that was okay, and that I would want to justify myself. Jesus says, that person is blessed. Why? Because there's a result for a person like that. In the context of the kingdom of heaven, it's inclusion within the kingdom of heaven. It is possession of the kingdom of heaven. He says, you're blessed if you're poor in spirit. You're blessed if you're humble, because you now can move into inheritance and possession within the kingdom of heaven. And let me just say, it just doesn't get any better than that. It's not about just desserts. We deserve the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And inclusion in the kingdom of heaven comes because of relationship with the King, not because of our failures and our shortcomings that bar us. What a great heart condition. That heart of humility, that heart that says, I'm broken before God, and this is my sacrifice. I am not all that in a bag of chips. I am broken and wounded and lost, and I need Him. I have sinned against Him. And you can hear this in the heart of the prodigal son when he says, against you and heaven, I have sinned. And there's a brokenness. What a great view of that number one heart condition. The result, inclusion within the kingdom of heaven. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Here's another heart condition. Let's move on. Matthew 5. And let's move to the very next part. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We often hear this in the context of those who are sorrowing, grief, because they have lost someone in their family. Now, the Lord cares for people who pass away and those who deal with people who pass away. I'm not here to say that He doesn't. But the context of this passage is to not say that you're in a position of grief. But the question is, what are you grieving over? What are you grieving over? This mourning that he's talking about is a heart that experiences deep grief over their sin, their error, and their iniquity, as well as the sin in others' lives and the cost that it costs them. When was the last time you wept over your sin or the sins of someone else? We then begin getting in touch with this heart condition. The second heart condition is the heart that mourns, the heart that weeps over the brokenness of relationship between an individual and God, between themselves and their God, and their very deeply understanding of the idea of repentance. The first heart condition is humility. The second heart condition is a heart of repentance, a heart that experiences deep grief over their sin. Now, why is this person blessed? Why is this person in a great position? Because here's the result that comes to the person who has come to the place of repentance and mourning before the Lord, that brokenness as they realize the full extent of their sin and what it costs God, what it costs them, and what it costs others. As they are confronted with that, they are not heaved over into condemnation, but they come to a place of grief before the Lord and repentance. And here's the result. Comfort and finding an answer which satisfies. Now, what's the ultimate comfort for someone who mourns over their sin? Forgiveness, restoration, and renewed relationship. They're swaddled by the grace of God, and they're brought into a place of comfort, of finding an answer which actually satisfies. It takes care of the sin. It takes care of the error. It takes care of the distance. It takes care of the brokenness. Isn't Jesus good that way? If we have that kind of heart condition. The third heart condition. He says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. What is meekness? I would like to be blessed. I would like to be in that enviable position. But what is meekness? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Meek, a heart that keeps power and reaction under control. And surrendered. It doesn't seek its own vindication. Have you ever been in a position where you wanted to speak up and you wanted to clear your name? Where you wanted to vindicate yourself? And that maybe you felt a check by the Holy Spirit that said, no, just be quiet. You don't need to speak up. You don't need to defend yourself. You see, we live in a society, in a culture, in a world culture, in a world kingdom that says, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If I don't speak up for myself and if I don't complain, then there will be no justice. It won't happen. But there are times when meekness needs to be exhibited. Now, Jesus himself demonstrated meekness. In fact, he says, come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. He goes before his accusers, the scripture says, quoting the book of Isaiah, and he opens not his mouth. He doesn't justify himself. He doesn't call, as one song said, 10,000 angels to come and set him free. He didn't call for the voice of God to speak up from heaven into the sham trial of the Sanhedrin and amongst the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others. He didn't. He opened not his mouth. Is it a problem that Jesus is weak? No. It is exactly that Jesus is meek. He has the power. He has the authority. He has the right. But he actually surrenders his right to be right in order to obey God. That's a wonderful heart condition. Aren't you glad Jesus has that heart condition? It's the heart of meekness. And what's the result? How about this one? A relationship with God that means inheritance of the physical creation. Now, be honest with me. How many of you would like to be in charge right now? Some of us say, no, bad time to be in charge. But you know, if you could just say the word and then everybody have to do it, and nobody, they could question it all they want, but there's nothing they could do about it. That's in charge, large and in charge. Have you ever said, I think I could do better now. I wish the mayor didn't do this. I wish the pastor didn't do that. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you'll surrender your heart to God and get in his kingdom, here's the future that you have for you. Jesus' kingdom is going to be set up upon the earth physically, actually, and really. And those who know him will be with him, ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years. And we'll all get to have an opportunity to know what it's like to run things the way it really should be run. And to that, everybody should applaud and say hallelujah. What a day that will be. But here's what you need to have. You need to have a heart of meekness. The result will be a relationship with God that means inheritance of the entire physical creation. Not only the earth, but the entire universe. Do you know there's people right now buying lots on Mars? I'm getting ads on Facebook saying for $10 or something like that, I can buy a lot on Mars. I don't need to. My father owns Mars, and if he wants to give me Mars later, he will. And if he just wants to give me a Mars bar, I'll still say thank you. What a great result. Heart condition number 4. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed. In an enviable position, in a wonderful place. Wait a minute. When was the last time you felt hungry and thirsty and felt blessed? Ask a child. They never feel blessed when they're hungry and thirsty. You feel blessed after you've eaten. So what's Jesus talking about? What's his heart condition? He's not talking about the bread that enters into the belly, and then, and how many of you know you just basically rent a meal? I mean, you eat a couple of hours later, you have to eat again. And a couple more hours, you have to eat again. And some of us are over at the refrigerator at 10 at night. And then we're back there at 6 a.m. And it's like, man, here I am again. What happened to that wonderful meal I had? Your body used it up. And now it's time to refuel. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Not bread or water that is depleted and used up, but for righteousness. For righteousness. Hunger and thirst, the most powerful life-sustaining urges in a human being. Right there, people have done desperate things to deal with hunger and thirst. Have you ever eaten something you wouldn't otherwise eat because you were hungry? There was nothing else. Have you ever been so thirsty that you've drank something that you wouldn't normally drink? I keep telling people, if I don't care how thirsty I am, if there's a diet drink there, I'm going to die of thirst. Beside an unopened Diet Coke or Diet Dr. Pepper or some other atrocity of a diet drink like that. But I'm suspecting that if I really, really got thirsty, I might break down and take a few sips from the diet drink and pray like crazy that somebody comes quick with a bottle of Ozarka water. Mineral water with the berry flavor in it. He says, those that hunger and thirst, the strongest desire that you have in your life and that sustains you is this hunger and this thirst. And what's the result? Completed and filled up with satisfaction and contentment. Why? Because we say, things are right. Things are being done right. Things are upright. Things are right before God. Things are right between me and God. What happens in the life of somebody who pursues the righteousness of God like they do hunger and thirst? Jesus says, they'll be filled. And what's the idea there? They'll find contentment. And one of the things that just percolates in my spirit all the time is I'm looking at how things are mismanaged and handled across the planet because of fallen people who don't understand well and others who use people and abuse people. I just every time say, one of these days, my Lord and my Savior is going to run this planet and I'm going to get to stand there and say, now that's the way it should be done. And you know what's going to flood our heart? Contentment. And how do we get there? We hunger and thirst for righteousness, and then we'll be filled. Heart condition number 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, what's mercy? Mercy is acting in kindness, acting in loving kindness, dispensing what is not deserved within the situation. Now, what kind of people typically do we want to have mercy on? People that we feel deserves mercy. But the very definition of mercy is to actually go and give somebody something that they don't deserve. This is not giving a good man bad things. This is giving somebody who is atrocious, somebody who's misbehaved, somebody who's broken, somebody who is wounded, somebody who's rough around the edges. It's going to them and acting in loving kindness, dispensing what is not deserved within the situation. What happens when we show mercy? Jesus says there's a result. Something results when a person shows this kind of mercy. And by the way, when Jesus is asking us to do this, he knows this is something that is contrary to our nature. When I sit here and tell you, or stand here, more specifically, as you sit there this morning, and I tell you that showing somebody mercy that doesn't deserve it, there's an immediate thing in our heart that says, well, that's not right. That's not fair. That person doesn't deserve it. We show mercy to people who deserve it. But Jesus says, what if I did that? What if I only showed loving kindness and mercy to those who deserved it? None of you would have opportunity to know about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and enter it and live forever. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't think that way? Why? Because he thinks and walks in the kingdom of God. He doesn't think and walk in the kingdom of men. And so that challenges our heart. And it says, wow, how am I going to show mercy? How am I going to act in loving kindness, dispensing what is not deserved within the situation? But what happens when we do? And by the way, it's a tip off. It's going to have to come from God. We're going to have to rely upon the King of the kingdom in order to do that. The result is showing loving kindness of the best kind from God Himself. He shows that to us. He demonstrates that kind of loving kindness to us, and the penalty of sin is entirely placed on Jesus, and we go free. Wow. Isn't that awesome? That's fantastic. Aren't you glad that's a part of the kingdom of God? Because of that, we are shown mercy. And that's heart condition number 5. Blessed are the pure in heart. Heart condition number 6. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What is purity? It's interesting that that word pure has at its heart a Persian word, pur, and it speaks of fire. From this we get the word pyromaniac. And that would be somebody who loves fire, is drawn towards fire, or plays with firemen. Or not plays with firemen, plays with fire. Some firemen are firemen because in their heart and their soul, they're partly pyromaniacs. So, and all the firemen out there sheepishly said, yeah, Pastor, I think you're right. Purity that comes by fire that heats up and gets rid of the impurities. To be pure means to be refined and cleansed, having undergone repentance, correction, and refinement. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. These are people who have submitted to God's inspection, who have submitted to the flames and fires of life, who have surrendered to the tests and the trials, and they haven't given up. They've submitted and gone through them, just like Jesus did. And they hear the words of Peter who says, don't give up. Don't be surprised at these fiery trials. They hear the words of James that encourage them to not be concerned about, this is not strange, this is not something out of the blue. This is part and parcel of walking into the kingdom of God. You're going to go through these trials by fire. Your test is, the testing of your faith is going to happen, and there is going to be a testing of your heart condition. But what's the result of undergoing the test, not bailing out, and going through it with the help of God? Something transforms and changes within our heart, and we become pure in heart. And what's the result of that? We get to see God. Wow. We get to see God. Jesus said, no man has ever seen the Father except for the one and only who has come from Him and is going back to Him. Talk about exclusive. Some people get excited to have behind the stage passes. They go to a concert or some event, and some of us get excited when we get to go early and we get to meet the ball players and they sign bats and things like that. That'll happen again soon, hopefully. Maybe it won't. Maybe the value of that will shift a little bit, but that's still an exciting thing. But nothing could be better than to get to see God. Wow. Because something has transformed and changed in you. Not only has the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you from all of your sin, but you have gone through the fire, you have gone through the difficulties, you have gone through the struggles. Your faith has been tested and it's come forth like gold. And the result Jesus promises this blessed person, blessed are you. Blessed are you because you will get to see God. We're not talking about just a city, just a landmark, but we're getting to see God, the creator of everything that exists in heaven and in earth, in every dimension, anything that exists. He has designed it, built it. He is awesome. He is amazing. He is staggeringly wonderful. And you and I will get to see Him if we have the right heart condition. Number 7. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now what's peace? Peace is more than the absence of conflict. Across the Middle East, they talk about peace talks. And here's what peace talks are, usually in the Middle East. It's the time that each side uses to reload their armaments and stockpiles so that they can re-begin the war in the next year. It is only a temporary cessation of hostilities just so they can reload, redevelop their strategies, and go at it again. It's like the bell ringing between round one and round two in a boxing match. That's not peace. That's a moment of rest until the hostilities resume again. But what's peace? It is the persuasion that comes from an agreement with the king. I'm in relationship with the king. He has no hostilities towards me. He has all the power, all the authority, and yet I'm in relationship with him, and I have peace with the king. Now, to go one better, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, how do you peace make? You experience peace with the king, and then you explain to other people how to have peace with the king. If a person is living their own life their own way, with their own persuasions out of their own heart, I will guarantee you something right now. They are not at peace with God. They are not at peace with the Son, the King of the Kingdom, Jesus the Christ. You are not at peace with God if you're doing your own agenda. There's no way you can be. And you know it. And others are aware of it as well. But what happens when you surrender your life to Him and He becomes your King and your Lord? You now have a relationship that you can share with other people, and they can model. You can model before them, and they can see there is somebody who's at peace. They're in difficulty. There are things going on in their life just like they are going in my life. They're going through this COVID-19 thing. They're going through difficulties and struggles. They're dealing with issues with their family. They're Americans, and they're dealing with an economy and a culture, but there's something different about them. And then what do we get to do? We get to tell them how we found peace with God. And there is no greater peace than peace with God. Jesus would say, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I you. It is my peace that the world has not given it, so it cannot take it away. And what is one of the primary fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Something which lodges within our spirit and assures us of our relationship with God, that love and that joy that comes from His presence and that peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. And here's the result of being a peacemaker. They're entitled with the name child of God. They're identified with the Son of God. And they are connected with everything that belongs to Him. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now, I just want to hasten and add here, not all human beings, even though they're called this in popular songs and in poetry and people on television, not all human beings are the children of God. Only those who are called by His name because they have been born again, they have been adopted by Him, and now they have their name upon Him. They have the seal of their God upon them. Why? They're born again and they're entering the kingdom. And now they are called the sons of God, the children of God. The first chapter of John says, He came to His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to be called the children of God, the sons of God. Wow, what a great heart condition. Some of you were concerned right from the beginning. He's going to talk about heart conditions. He's going to talk about hardening of the arteries around the heart. He's going to talk about getting a stent. He's going to talk about arrhythmia. He's going to have Pastor Brian come up and talk about improper rhythms of the heart. No, I'm going to have Jesus talk to us this morning and talk to us about seven heart conditions that make us right and right for the kingdom of heaven. It's something that we can check. Now, how many of you have ever taken a heart test? They call it this, a stress test, right? They go and put your heart under stress. They have you walk, they have you run, they have you do these things, and then measure the heart under duress and under stress. I looked in the Bible and I found a heart test. Are you ready? because we need to see this and realize that this is not something Pastor Doug's making up. Jesus is talking about seven conditions of the heart. And there are going to be times when you are coming into a heart test. You're going to be tested. We find it in the book of Acts. The disciples are gathered together. Jesus has ascended into heaven. The day of Pentecost has happened. And they have been going up to the temple to pray. And one day they go by and there is a man beside the beautiful gate who is lame. And he's never been ever able to enter the temple. And they say, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And that man rises up. He walks and leaps and he's in the temple now praising the Lord. And everybody, of course, said, "Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is risen from the dead. And these are his disciples. Hallelujah." No. They're immediately attacked by the religious leaders who drag them in. And here's what they tell them. "You will no longer teach or preach or say anything about Jesus of Nazareth and that God raised him from the dead and that he is the Messiah. Are we clear?" And here's their response. "You do what you feel like you have to do, but we're going to do this. We are not going to stop preaching and teaching and declaring that Jesus Christ is raised up from the dead and salvation is only in his name." Talk about a heart test. And you know what they did? They then went home after they were threatened and they went to the house and they gathered other disciples, told them what happened. And of course, all the disciples were concerned and said, "Well, if they're upset, we better quit this." No, that's not what they said. They passed the test. They said, "It doesn't matter about belonging to the kingdom of Israel. It doesn't matter about belonging to the kingdoms of this world. We have come into a new kingdom and we have a king and his name is Jesus." And they got into a room and they prayed. And here's what they prayed. "Lord, you hear what they're saying and you hear how they're opposing us, but we don't want to stop. Would you give us strength? Would you give us courage?" And the scripture says that God answered that prayer. And here's how he answered it. "The room shook, and they all spoke in tongues and glorified and magnified God, just like it had happened at the beginning." God refreshed them and renewed them with their heart test, and they passed with flying colors. So here's what Jesus says about the heart test. He says it again, blessed, right? You sit there and say, blessed. Now, that doesn't sound blessed, but it is. If Jesus calls it blessed, it is. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward," where? "In heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." What a heart test. I don't know about you, but when I hear those words, I say, "Boy, that doesn't feel very blessed. Wait a minute. People are going to insult me, pick on me, call me names." In fact, Jesus had told them, "They'll drag you out of the synagogue and ban you. And what's more, what they've done to me, they'll do to you." And they saw what they had done to Jesus. They beat him beyond recognition and nailed him to a cross to open shame. They passed their heart test because Jesus says, "This is what you have to be willing to go through. This is the ultimate stress test of whether or not you have these things established in your heart that place you within the kingdom of heaven." Let me just say, as a word of encouragement, the heart that lives this way will be persecuted, insulted, lied about, and attacked. It will be tested. The heart that is tested this way has proof that it's in the kingdom. Wow. Wait a minute. This happened to Jesus. This has happened to me. It's proof that I'm in the kingdom. The kingdoms of this world do not like the kingdom of my God. And they are going to react and respond to that. Here's another encouragement. The heart that passes this test rejoices, Jesus says, and has reward. I don't know about you, but I like reward. And by the way, you can't earn a reward. A reward is always a blessing, not commensurate with the work performed. Jesus knows how to bless. The Father knows how to bless. And it's going to be above and beyond all you and I could ask or think. The heart that is tested this way does not fail in the shaking. It stands its ground and does not fail in the shaking. Folks, we're in an aftermath. We're being tested at places we never thought we would be tested before. And this is a time for a heart check. This is a time to ask the question, is my heart failing me for fear? Am I giving up? Am I trying to, do I feel myself turning? Do I feel myself getting some opposition and not knowing what to do with it? I want to encourage you. What does it mean to encourage? It means to strengthen the heart. It means to pour strength into the heart. And as we get together even this way and we declare the word of the Lord, what happens? There's an encouragement. There's a strengthening of the heart. So here's the question before we pray this morning. What is your heart condition? What is your heart condition? Be honest there with the Lord. Be honest in your time of devotions. Lord, what is my heart condition? If you ran a test on my heart, Lord, where am I? There's those seven heart conditions. Lord, where am I? Am I in the upper 90th percentile? Am I doing really good? Or Lord, where's the weakness? Where's that place? And don't you know if you ask the Holy Spirit, He'll help you to see that. And He won't condemn you. He'll just put you on a course to strengthen that area of your heart. Here's another question for you. Are you closed and untrusting? That's a heart condition that says, nope, can't. I'm not going to let God in. I'm not going to let anybody in. And I want to challenge you that this is an opportunity to take a real sober exam of the heart and say, yeah, there's some hardness there. There's some resistance there. There's some callousness there. But I don't want to live that way. I can't live that way. It's not good for my heart. Jesus is here to handle that. Are you open and looking? Are you expectant? Is your heart open? And are you looking? That's a great heart condition that puts you in the position to receive His grace. And then here's a sobering question before we pray. Are you seeing the kingdom, but not entering? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. It's one thing to see the kingdom. It's another thing to enter it. And this is the time. During a shaking, during this time of uncertainty, this is a golden moment to enter the kingdom of heaven. And how do you do that? You receive the King. You accept the King. He opens the door. He is the door. And you come in and you place your faith in Him and you submit to His heart checks and His heart therapy. He's the greatest cardiologist ever. He knows how to take the hardest heart and make it the most tender, the one that has been the most closed, and make it the most open, the one who has been bound with grief, and cause them to rejoice and to give them the oil of joy for mourning and the garments of rejoicing for their sorrow and give them gladness to wear as a clothing. Are you seeing the kingdom but not entering? Let's pray before we close this out this morning. Lord, we bow before You. We open our heart to You. We thank You for Your wonderful mercy and Your tremendous grace. And we thank You for this awesome opportunity to enter into the kingdom. We lay our heart before You. Lord, You know the condition of our heart. You're the expert cardiologist of spiritual hearts. And we ask as we lay our heart before You, Lord, that You would look at us, that You would evaluate us, that You would test our hearts. And Lord, that we would be a people of the kingdom with seven heart conditions that we are developing within us. Holy Spirit, this is more than we can do on our own. We need Your help. I'm praying for hard hearts, that they would come to a tenderness. I'm praying for closed hearts, that they would become open and trusting. I'm praying for hearts that are afraid, and I'm praying for that comfort of the Holy Spirit and a new boldness and a new strength. As You, Lord Jesus, know how to touch the heart, to change the heart, to transform the heart, we cannot be a people whose hearts fail from terror, apprehensive as what is coming on the world. We have to be a people who are as bold as a lion and strong of heart because we know in whom we have believed and we are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. Lord, I pray for the light to go on, for revelation, and for people to enter your kingdom even now. And for those of us who know you, that we will take bolder steps, that we will take stronger steps, and we will be encouraged by your grace. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you this week. We hope to see you anytime during the day, Monday through Sunday. It's actually 7 days a week. We'll have a devotional based upon this, some observations, revelations, thank yous, and then there will be some requests. And you can develop and deepen your spiritual life. We can go down a path that will help every one of those seven heart conditions. The Lord bless you. Have a great week. May His grace and His peace be upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.